Oh yeah, it's
not Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I love that. All right. Yes, sir. Talking sports with the 12th man. Let me get JQ here. Let's get JQ.
Yes,
try to pull his are you driving JQ?
I am driving.
Gotcha. Well, good to have you aboard as always, man. You just missed your cue, but that's all good. We'll get this party started. We got a lot of things to jump into on this Thursday NBA Finals night. We got the fellas in. Just wanted to throw a couple of real quick things out before we get started. First and foremost, free Brittany Griner. Number two, I just put a bid in for the Blazers as well. Hopefully I can get a bid in for that. And then finally, number three, we're going to go around the room here. Rob, I think I owe you a slap next time I see you, man, because, you know, I don't like the way that you've been running fantasy football. You know, you've been trying to trade Randy McMichael all the time and stashing players on the IR, man. So whenever I see you, man, I owe you a slap, man, because I just don't appreciate the way you've been handling fantasy football, man. Just want to throw that out there, man. So,
hey, man, how long has Randy McMichael been out of the league?
God, we're always giving you a hard time, man.
Oh man,
Robbie's like, yo, man,
Randy McMichael been out of the league for like 20 years.
And Randy McMichael, Robbie's always trying to trade. I'm gonna give you this, and Randy McMichael. But man, come on, man, like that's gonna be the guy. Yeah, I'm totally messing with you. Obviously, that was a reference to Jock Peterson.
Oh, I know it.
Jokers are stopping.
You know, the funny thing is, in fantasy football, you know, I haven't really offered anybody a trade in a year.
I know.
Yeah.
Back
but
in
that
players
was
time,
yeah, that was a real deal in fantasy football. I would try to offer trades, and but I haven't done it in a long time, to be honest. I just try to make do with what I have, or watch the waiver wire.
Yep.
It's all good. Let's go around the room here. JQ, how you feeling, senior, bro?
I'm good, man. I appreciate y'all holding down the show for me last week, and, you know, I had to go to Cincinnati, and quiet as kept. You know, Erica's had her birthday yesterday, and she's going to Vegas, so she's out, so I'm back on daddy duty again with my girls. So y'all pray for me with my 13 and 10-year-old daughters here this weekend. But, I mean, I'm doing okay, man. I'm hanging in.
Nothing you can't handle. How's your dad doing?
Yeah. He's fighting, you know what I mean? He's fighting. So he's doing better. He's he got released from the hospital, so he's back home, and he's got some other things he's got to work on. So, you know, phase one is complete, so now on to phase two to get him hopefully back to, you know, being to full health.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Yeah, I was gonna say that fresh for your pops, something like that.
Keep him
like,
in my thoughts and prayers.
Something like that too. Yeah.
There's
a slight echo. Not sure if that's us or not, but just a little FYI too. But we'll keep this moving. Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, doing great. Ready to make it do what it do. Able to get an early evening nap in, so be rested up for the game, be rested up for the show, and, you know, had some asparagus for dinner. You know, I've been in Florida for a year and a half now, and I finally had a fried grouper sandwich, which is very popular here in the Tampa area. Man, it was amazing. It won't be my last time. Yeah, it was awesome.
This guy, foodie number one.
So I'm doing good.
Appreciate
it. Oh, man. There you go.
What was that, Curtis?
Yeah. I'm sad about the Preakness and the Belmont. I had 10-year big money streak in those races. I won as much as 3,500 in the Preakness and in the Belmont. I won as much as 2,500 bucks. And I was picking the highest race to pick was the Kentucky Derby. So I've been a 10-year winning streak before I got sick. I was thinking about Corn Pro, and there was people that I worked with that was calling me for the picks of the horses, and I never let them,
I remember that.
Never let them down. They won money too. So I'm a little sad about that.
Well, you're here today.
Yeah.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And moving forward, right?
Yeah.
And we're doing good out west.
And any tips that you can share for betting, help us out, man, because if you're winning $8,000 and $2,000, that's amazing. So, you know, again, show some love for any secrets that you have, because we would love to make some bets, if you will, too. You know, obviously we'll be responsible, if you will, but, you know, just that's good stuff, you know. Good stuff, as always. Appreciate you guys checking in and all that good jazz. So we got a lot of things to discuss. You know, once again, shout out to my guy Tony that posted on the Talking Sports Facebook page. He's, you know, talking about the game right now too, so it's good to get some interaction from that perspective. Always call in if you guys want to give your thoughts. We had Naj call in. You missed it, JQ, last week. It was blast from the past. But he added some hilarious commentary, as always. But it was good to hear from him. Yeah, you should check in. It was all good. Yeah, he was hilarious.
He was good.
He was on fire.
He jumped in
right. But anyway,
he never left.
Yeah, it was like, I've been missing you guys. Like, pulled back a Madden reference. I'm like, oh, man. Like, oh, man. It was good stuff.
Nice.
But, always call us in, the 424-243-9519 number. But, gentlemen, let's jump right in. We got to talk about a couple things here. We're going to do the quick NBA Finals update. I know you're driving, Jake. You're probably just going to get the updates right now. It's a pretty tight game. Everyone has been kind of interesting. Oh, you were watching it? Yeah.
I was watching it.
Marcy is going nuts, so if you hear any screaming in the background, that is her. She's real exciting. And I would say, I know that I'm not sure what Robert isn't like the Warriors, but I will say from a husband perspective, I'm so happy to have her like the Warriors, because she is all NBA. I mean, it's been exciting, man. So I'm going to let her just do her thing, and it's been good. So that's why you can talk shit about me, but I'm going to go all the way in, man. It's been fun to hear. She's so engaged in her for to talk to her family out west. It's been awesome to see that thought of her. So I'm all in. There you go.
Man,
I'm predicting the Warriors
right
at six, by the way.
It's actually
it's
a tie game. 103-103.
Yeah.
About five and a half minutes to go. I tell you, Derek White is actually stepping up in the fourth quarter for the Celtics. Got 21 points, five 3-pointers. And And Jason Tatum is actually not having a really good game. Andrew Wiggins got to give him a lot of credit. He's really been frustrating Tatum in this game. Yeah.
I'm a, so I wonder if he's still hurt, like he's sure doesn't have a problem with him. Yeah.
Wow, the Celtics just took a 3-point lead with an Al Horford 3-pointer.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Anyway, keep it going. But we'll go around and see what you guys are doing. Yeah, that's Peter Marcy. Yo, in the background, is going down.
So, yeah, I was watching the game. I had a friend come in from out of town. I was watching with him, and I was – listen, that first quarter that Steph had was outstanding.
Unreal.
21 points in the first quarter. Like, he was out of control. He only took two shots in the second quarter and didn't make any of them. When I left where I was at, I believe that Golden State was up 12. So I don't know what has happened. Anytime I got in the car to drive home, that's the tie game. Who got hot for Boston in that period? So I'll let you guys go ahead and run with it. But I love what Steph did. He came out and set the tone for Golden State. I really felt like Tatum and Brown were really passive for the first three quarters in this game. But I'll let you guys take it. I don't know what has happened at this point.
Yeah, and Golden State had – I thought Golden State's defense in the third quarter was phenomenal. I thought they had a really good quarter as far as defense. But the Celtics did make a little run toward the end of the third, and they carried over here in the fourth quarter. And now they're up by 3 points. But particularly the role players for the Celtics are starting to step up. We talked about Derrick White. You got Al Horford just hit a big three-pointer. And Jaylen Brown is at least taking the ball to the basket and getting to the rim and drawing fouls. But Tatum is struggling in this game, but you got to give a lot of that credit to the Warriors and the way they're defending him. Wiggins, as well as Draymond Green, have been frustrating Jason Tatum here in his first game. So it'll be interesting to see if Tatum has anything down the stretch in this game and how that translates to game two. Does he make any adjustments, or the Celtics make any adjustments to get him off? Because if you look at this right now, the Celtics are up by three, and the best player is not even having a great game. And so from their perspective, you got to be somewhat encouraged to see, if they can carry this over. But I think the Celtics have had some lapses on the defensive end in this game. Steph Curry, as we all know, is the greatest NBA shooter of all time, right? But in that first quarter, he had so many open looks, it was unreal. You can understand the Draymond Green getting an open look every now and again, or Looney Tunes getting an open look every now and again, or even Andrew Wiggins. But there's no excuse for the best defensive team in the league to be giving Steph Curry and Draymond Green some of those pick and rolls. Those guys were falling off of the shooter as opposed to attacking the shooter on the defensive end. So I know that's something that Yumi Udoka is going to have to address. They covered it a little bit better in the second quarter, but then they lapsed again in the third. But as we just talked about, they got a 3-point lead right now, so they've somewhat recovered.
How much time is left right now? I'm sorry.
About, I think a little over 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yep. Time.
I'm almost home. I just want to know how much time I actually get to see. I'm sorry, Gary. Go for it.
Yeah. Gary Curtis, go ahead.
Well, watching this game, Curtis and I were watching it, five minutes ago, and the Warriors were way up, double digits.
Right.
And this is what I told Curtis. I said, this is a five-game series. And I was very confident in that. Then all of a sudden it's 101, 101, 103, 105, 106, 103, Celtics. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I still think it's going to be a five-game series. But I think I think every game is going to be close.
Yeah.
Going into this,
it's tough.
I didn't think it was a great series. It was a 7-game series. I thought it would be a good series. Meaning, I thought obviously I'm rooting for the Celtics, but I thought the Warriors would win in six going into it. But I definitely think the Celtics can compete with these people from an athleticism standpoint. The Warriors have better shooters, but the Celtics got better athletes on the floor. When you look, and then they got a lot of length. I mean, they started this game with Robert Williams and Al Horford in the lineup with Tatum and Brown. And then Marcus Smart. I mean, that's a lot of length and athleticism on the floor.
Right.
That can help them on a defensive end if they play smart on a defensive end. Like right now, they're just giving Steph Curry a wide open three. You know, thankfully he missed it. But at least I think this is going to be a good series. I really thought that from the beginning. I mean, this Celtics team won 7 games with the Bucks, the defending champions. They beat the Heat, who was the number one team in the East, and they were the hottest team going into the playoffs. So it's not going to be an easy out for the Warriors, even though I predict the Warriors to win the series.
Yeah, we got that. And even outside of that, like, you know, don't forget about Kyrie and KD in round one, right? So
they've
had
the
hardest road, I think, of anybody in the playoffs, and they've excelled in it. I hate Boston, but you got to give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Looney just can't guard that three-point line. So Harper, he can get that three-point shot all day long. He's hit 2 that I've seen just here, in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they're up by 6. I don't know if it's delayed or a little bit ahead or if it's the same where you're at, but it's 109, 103. Is that what it is there?
Yeah, Celtics are about 6 right now. I think about 3.5 minutes ago.
The kind of nice feel. They've been through an adversity, and you can't count them out. And I think they're a little bigger, you know, in stature than Golden State, which might cause a lot of trouble with Golden State. Golden State really needs to win this game.
Well, there's plenty of time, but they keep hitting.
Al Horford hit another bucket. Celtics up by 8.
He just hit another one. Yeah, they better get somebody else on the side.
Yeah, Draymond Green just missed the free throw here.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown, 10 points in the fourth quarter, too. Like I mentioned, he had 14 in the first three and got 10 in the fourth. But he's another one. Hey, Al Horford, 6 three-pointers in his game with 23 points. I mean, that's huge. And Draymond just missed another three.
As much as we gave Billy Knight some crap about the draft, this actually may be his best pick. He's not even freaking playing for the Hawks, but, you know, again, good to see him actually being a decent player. But good stuff, if you will. And like you said, this is going to be big. I think we've all made a couple of predictions here. We're hoping, like you said, I had Golden State at 6. I think Robbie had the same thing. Not sure what you guys had on the West Coast. I think you had, Gary, you had him at 5. And I think, I don't know what JQ had him in. But right now, like you said, it's still a pretty close game. I know Rob's happy over there too, and it's a pretty interesting stat because I think they were saying that if the Celtics win, they will overtake the Lakers as far as having the most NBA championships history. So I can see why JQ does not want the Celtics to actually win this as well, because, you know, that's a lot of history as well on the back burner too. So
I don't
want
to see Steph Curry with a 4 championship. That's why I'm moving.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's all good, you know. I don't know why you hating over there, you know, but it's all good. So, you know, we'll keep it going.
I hate Boston. I'm rooting for Golden State. I don't want – L.A. and Boston are tied at 17. I do not want Boston to get to 18.
Yeah.
I am definitely rooting for Golden State, for sure. I had Golden State in 7.
Good stuff. We'll see. That's what everyone wants. I prefer 6. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, historically these are 2 great franchises, right? So, I mean, I think the basketball purists, you know, got a really good matchup here. You got a young up and coming team with Tatum and Brown, and you got a team like the Warriors with their 6 finals appearance in 8 years. And you know, I know that the Warriors had a Had some really good teams in the 60s and 70s, and the Celtics have historically been good, too. So I think
they won the first championship, too.
Yeah, so this is – historically, this is a really good – two really good NBA franchises, historically.
Wait a minute, man. So I wasn't here last week. Y'all got Rob out here looking like a cartel drug dealer. He got the goatee going and everything now. Everybody going to say nothing about him?
We left him alone, man.
I got on the call and said, whoa.
You know what's interesting? All of our teams meetings at work. You know, everybody's been commenting about it. Everybody's been saying they love it, so I'm probably gonna keep it.
I love it, but I wasn't ready.
And most importantly, my wife likes it, so that's it gives me a lot of brownie points.
There you go.
I wasn't ready for you to come in here looking like a Mexican drug dealer. I got up here and said, oh, Rob, I can sling these birds, boy. Let's go, Rob.
Well, let's get one thing straight. I am not a Mexican drug dealer. let me get that.
No, Holmes. No, Holmes, get you out of, man. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You called me yesterday, Holmes, you know.
Goodness gracious.
A lot of people have been commenting about my goatee. Wow, the Celtics up by 11 with 2 minutes to go. Warriors have totally gone cold here in the last 2 minutes. And they've been running out on the 3-point shooters.
Everyone's trying. They were going real cold. You live by the three, you die by the three, as they say, man. So,
well, one thing I think going into the series, though, the Warriors played the Mavericks here in the Western Conference Finals. There's a huge difference between the Celtics team and the Mavericks. And I don't think the Heat is as good as the Warriors by any stretch of the imagination, but I think the Celtics are coming off, or from a competition standpoint, is a lot closer than what the Warriors just experienced in the Mavericks. This is a huge – I mean, the Celtics is a huge jump up from what they played against the Mavericks. I mean, you got a 14-point lead. They have totally gone cold here down the stretch. But you got to give a lot of that credit to the Celtics. Their defense has been phenomenal here in the last 5 or 6 minutes here, 17-0 run.
Yeah, they're just crushing
last
now.
4 minutes.
Magic Johnson credit too, one thing he mentioned before the game, he was a little concerned about the Warriors and their fatigue after being off for so long.
Yeah.
And you saw in the second quarter, the Warriors looked fatigued, and now you're seeing it again in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep this going here. All right. So let's talk about – we're going to switch topics. So we're going to talk about LeBron, if you will. And, you know, if you guys did not realize that LeBron, according to Forbes, you know, definitely reaches a financial milestone. We're going to let JQ kind of talk about that, becoming, you know, $1 billion in net worth too. So just a phenomenal achievement, if you will. So let you comment on that, JQ, if you will.
I mean, I don't think there's much of a whole bunch to say about it. I mean, he's kind of been on that path for a while now, right? He's always been about his brand, sometimes to the detriment that we feel of in terms of his competitiveness, in terms of his basketball piece, where he's just about himself and building it up. But I'm not overly surprised because that's just the evolution of it. It started with Michael Jordan, and it continues through Michael Jordan and through LeBron James at this point. And he won't be the last person, player, I don't think, to be a billionaire while he's playing, right? But, yeah, something to be said for that. I mean, it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. But I just you know, Michael has opened the door and LeBron has kind of just kind of kicked it down. But you already know there's going to be somebody coming behind them that's going to look at both of those formulas and also maximize it as well. So, you know, kudos to him for making that happen. And also doing that while being outspoken. You know how hard that is to do while being outspoken for social justice and doing all the things he does in the community? Like, if he had played it more vanilla, he might have been a billionaire 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably lost a whole lot of sales in terms of what he said about things that Michael Jordan wasn't willing to say.
that he's been willing to say.
Right.
He could have been that on that level a while ago. So that just is a testament to his business acumen and what he's had happening. So you got to give him credit. You know, people are going to discount him because they have people love him, have people hate him. But, you know, kudos to that dude for making that happen. I really think he's going to be an owner here.
Oh,
probably by his 50. I think that's really what he wants to do. And as long as he's the owner and not the GM, cool. Don't be the GM, LeBron.
Right, right, right.
No.
I think a cool point is to say to him, we'll let everyone chime in, is that he's the first active player, right? Because I think Michael Jordan became a billionaire after he was playing. So that's the key point. So
right.
I think, like,
right.
You know, a little 11 years after he played, which is still pretty phenomenal, but still, you know, jump man, everything that he did.
Well,
but that's a key stat, you know, that he got while he was, you know, go ahead. What do you think, Gary?
You're right. That it was after, but if you look at the amount of money that Michael Jordan was making
definitely.
Versus the amount of money as a player versus what LeBron has made in his career, there's also a jump start there. Not to take anything away from either one of those guys, because what those
correct.
Guys,
yeah.
I will say, I think you're absolutely correct, though, Goat. I believe that, LeBron may have done it sooner. You're right, because being as outspoken as he has been, Jordan was only about basketball. He was never about anything political. He never spoke out about anything other than
right.
that was going to benefit him and his brand.
Right.
LeBron took that a whole different way. Maybe he took some tips from MJ, but he did his own thing in his own way. And my ass off to him. And he will be, you know, at some point he will be owning a professional franchise
hopefully.
Team of some sort. Basketball, football, whatever. I think he's going to be able to afford whatever he wants in the future. And, he's the guy that's never really got himself in trouble, lifted other people up as well. And I'm not
right.
a big LeBron fan, but I'm a big enough fan to recognize that, talent, when you see greatness there, it's greatness there. But guess what? As many people love him, like any great player, whether it was Michael, whether it was the Lakers in the 80s or the Celtics in the, in the 60s or Muhammad Ali or any time you're great at something, you've got as many people hating you as loving you.
Right.
And he's done quite well with that. And I'm proud that he's been outspoken as a professional athlete. And he's put maybe finances on the back burner when it comes to that. So for him to be a billionaire at this stage of his career, fantastic. What do you
yeah,
think?
I mean, I think you guys covered it, really well. But I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, Jordan didn't get to it this soon at this age. But, one of the things, whether you hate LeBron or whether you love him or you hate him, I think he's one of those guys, you either love him or you do hate him. But one of the things you got to give him also credit for, he's also done a lot as far as giving back to the community, too. So he hasn't been a guy that's been selfish either. You talk about the schools that he's helped contribute and build in Ohio, what he's done down in South Africa as well. So you talk about a guy who also has a big heart. And, if you do compare him to Jordan, you didn't really see that side of Michael Jordan a whole lot. And obviously he's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball players, whether you think he's the second best but I think there's no question he's definitely one of the top five players of all time. But also when you look at he has also been generous of what he's done in the community and things of that nature too. So you gotta tip your hat to him from that standpoint as well.
Go ahead.
LeBron.
He's got a stage at HBO, and I think it's business reputation of representing NBA players. He's in all kinds of businesses. And he hasn't really been in trouble.
No.
He's something to look like.
Definitely look up to, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, too, good points for all you guys. And when we think about the difference in time, right, because, Gary, you mentioned that, you know, Michael didn't speak out, and I don't know if it was because of, you know, a couple things. Yes, some of that was him personally, and then maybe, you know, maybe Nike didn't want him to speak out. Who knows, right? And then obviously now a different situation with social media, all of that aspect that we're dealing with in this cycle, if you will, and the fact as well that you had Black Lives Matter, all these things. Now we can kind of speak in protest about a couple things where may have not been as accepted, you know, whenever Jordan's there. But again, not taking anything away from both of those guys because they were both trendsetters in their own right too. Because, I mean, damn, we're still buying Jordans till this day, right? And this has been, I promise, it's like this has been one of my favorite people like worried about Jordans. And almost 40 years old, and I'm like, oh, Jordans, man, which is nuts, you know. Look at that, yeah. I got a couple pairs myself, man. So, but. Just one of the situations where, you know, we're still bringing back the Mars commercials, and you saw a couple of those, but it's just interesting to see how that longevity, but definitely rooting for that. Go ahead.
Jordan golf shoe. Yeah.
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 The Jumpman brand is alive and well, my friend. Yeah, so.
I still have friends that collect Jordan.
Yeah.
No
problem.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my retro fours. Those are my shoes right there. I get as many fours as I can get.
The Cleveland is a town that doesn't get very many titles, but the Bryant Jackson got that town a title. And that might be the greatest thing you can.
He's done.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Well, I want to definitely talk about a couple of topics because I definitely want to hear JQ's thoughts about Fitzmagic retiring here. But before we do that, you know, I want to touch base on a couple of.
He was hoping
the Bengals
was going to sign him as a backup.
Right.
Started
yeah.
for us.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I do want to talk about a couple of withdrawal winners and losers, go around with Rob, Curtis, Gary, kind of talk about what's happening on that front. You know, obviously the NFL draft is around the corner, June the 23rd. But, Rob, go ahead and talk about some withdrawal winners and losers, if you will. We'll start with Rob and kind of go to Curtis and Gary, if you will.
Yeah, I'll start with the winners. And, of course, I'm going to start with my North Carolina Tar Heels. As far as the winners are concerned here, Tar Heels had obviously were running up in the NCAA tournament this past year, had quite a few players that were borderline late first round or early second round picks, particularly Caleb Love and also Armando Bacot, and both of them decided to return back to school. So, I mean, you know, going into next season, that looks good for North Carolina to have four out of the five starters from the Final 14 returning, and what a solid recruiting class coming in, too, on top of that. So most prognosticators, including myself, you know, have North Carolina going number one into next season. So it's a huge win to get both of those guys to commit and try to improve their draft stock in return. Also, Gonzaga was a winner, too. Drew Timmy started to stay in school. And as good as college player as Timmy is, he's still considered a second-round pick. And so it's still an opportunity to hope to get, you know, find some improvement and things of that nature in his game. And so he decided to return. So I got Gonzaga going into next season as the number three team in the in the preseason top five into college basketball. So to me, those are the two biggest winners out of the withdrawals game. The losers, and JQ is going to like this, Michigan. They're one of the losers here. Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate, they were both highly recruited, five-star recruits, and right now they're considered second-round picks. And if they would have came back to Michigan, they could have been first-round picks in next year's draft and really improved that Michigan team as well as their draft stock. But both of them decided to stay in the draft. So that's going to hurt Michigan a little bit and, to me, hurt their draft status too. Arizona is another loser here. Benedict Mathurin, he's going to be a top 10 pick, so you can understand him staying in the draft. So nothing there. But Christian Coloco and Dalen Terry, I think Dalen Terry is a sleeper in his draft, but right now he's still considered a second-round pick. And Coloco is definitely a second-round pick in my opinion too. So those are two guys that could have went back to school and improved their game, and Arizona could have been still a contender in the Pac-12 if they would have went back to school. Arkansas, I still think, will be a top 10 team, but, man, they would have been a top two or three team if Jalen Williams would have came back to school. He averaged 10 points, 10 rebounds last season. He's a tremendous athlete. I think he's an intriguing prospect, but he's still going to be a second-round pick. To me, he would have came back and would have been a top 15 pick if he would have stayed in school. So I think I think Arkansas was a national championship contender if he would have stayed going into next college basketball season. So I still think Arkansas would be a top 10 team, but they were a national championship contender if he would have stayed in school. And then Justin Lewis of Marquette, it's a big blow for Shocker Smith. He stayed in the draft, another guy that could improve his stock. He's a second-round pick. And then Duke, Trevor Keels, he should have came back to school too. He's a second-round pick. He's a little short and doesn't have really long arms, which is what the NBA is looking for. He's stocky, he's 6'5", but he doesn't really have a great length. And he's another guy that if he would have went back to school and improved his outside shot, that could have helped his draft stock. And, of course, he could have gave at least some veteran presence to Duke is going to have a highly recruited class coming in. But they have no veteran experience. Most of their elite players from this Final Four team are all going in the draft. So Duke was at least hoping to get that one player to come back and kind of be a stabilizer, but he's staying in the draft. Duke will still be Duke. They'll still be a top 10 team next year, but I think a veteran presence could have really helped them going into next year. But I hate Duke, so good. Go to the draft. I'm sorry. That's all I have.
No hate here. No hate here. Church. Duke and Michigan. As long as they're both in the loser category, I have no problem with that. I'm surprised at you that the Timmy piece of it. You watch him play on the biggest stage these past 2 years and what he mentioned at Gonzaga team. And there's something to be said for what he can contribute to a team. And it's like we keep having these conversations, and he's going to mess around, and he's going to stay. He's going to go late in the first round probably next year. And he's going to be a Draymond Green type of dude that's going to go to a team that's established. He just needs a little small tweaks here and there, and he's going to be able to fill in and maybe not start, but be a good rotational player and maybe move into a certain part of it. And he's going to be like, why did we downgrade this dude after what we saw? So sometimes you have to measure, you know, upside and length and all the other good stuff, but sometimes you just have to go on the tape and see what the dude has done, right? And one for me that I'm just like, that dude's done nothing but never shrinks from the moment, plays big and big games.
Yep.
And
absolutely,
having to go back to school is such for him.
They're looking for these long athletic guys, and Drew Timmy, he's got great post moves. He can shoot the ball from the outside. He's got a mid-range game. He's not a great athlete. You know, he barely jumps off the floor. But, you know, I agree with you. I think he can be a really solid NBA player. Yeah. I don't think he'll be an all-star. Yeah. But, you know, they're looking for these Robert Williams-type guys who are going to run the floor, jump out of the gym, block shots, and, you know, things of that nature. But to me, he can be, you know, an offensive presence. And I think he could potentially still be a starter in the NBA, too. I don't know if he'll be an all-star, but I think he can score the basketball. And if he can somehow become a better defender, he could be a starter in the NBA. I agree with you there.
And you can watch him play. He understands basketball. He understands
IQ.
How
IQ.
It goes. Like, yeah, his basketball IQ is out the charts. And it's like, sometimes the athleticism doesn't jump off to you, but can that dude play? And does he understand the game? Does he have a passion and want to for it? He has all those things. I really like him as a player. He's going to go to a good team that's going to know how to use him, and people are going to look up and be like, we missed.
Yeah, and I was going
to
say before Kirk
mess around and go to State of Boston, and teams with great
that's
teams. He'll mess around and go to somewhere like that and be a contributor. But for Gonzaga, this is a big win for them. They got 6 of the 8 top players coming back. Obviously, you lose Chet Holmgren to the draft, and Chet Holmgren is top 3 pick and maybe the number 1 overall pick in the draft. But they got 6 of the 8 top players back. They got a 7-foot transfer from LSU, Efren Reed, who's a 5-star recruit, who's transferring to Gonzaga as well. So that's they got 6 of the 8 top players, and then they got Reed transferring and a few pretty good recruits. They're going to be right back in the top 5 competing again.
And really quickly, I'll let Curtis and Gary talk, but just a comment about that really quickly about Drew Timmy, because it reminds you of a Tim Duncan, right? Tim Duncan wasn't flashy at all, but he was one of the most fundamental solid players ever played the game, too. He was not flashy at all. So I was going to comment on that, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis. Go ahead, Gary.
But Tim Duncan, one thing, the difference between Duncan and Timmy, Duncan was a hell of a defensive player.
I'm not saying that at all, but he was like, I'm just saying, just talking about that, too. But yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, we don't talk enough about art. I mean, to be a champion, you gotta have a heart to be a hard worker, listen to your coach, and do the right thing. And that's what I think things are measuring. Now, the heart of players that have
mental toughness,
and the heart where it and bring that heart for championship.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys. You guys are all in this scenario. You guys are all you guys all have the first pick in this draft. Would you pick this kid from Gonzaga as the number one pick? Each
nope.
one of you.
Nope.
Rob,
who are you picking, JQ?
Jabari Smith.
You know. Nope.
Oh.
You know who I've been on. I've been on him the whole time. That dude just, to me, that Santero from Duke, he has that killer piece of him. He can't really get it like he wants to get in that Duke system with Mike Krzyzewski. I like that kid. I really do. He's solid. He's long, like you just talked about. He can score. I think if he really wanted to be a good defender, he could be a good defender because he has the length. He can move his feet. He may just need to go somewhere to somebody to unleash that defense. To me, I would take him number one. Jabari, I like Jabari. What I saw, and I hate to say this, but when they played Miami and Miami really focused on him, I just didn't feel like he showed up in that game with everything on the line for it. And it's like he kind of just had to like, I'm going number one overall anyway. And I just didn't like his demeanor in that tournament game against Miami for Auburn. And I was like, do I want that dude as my number one overall pick? Where he has the ability to go out and put a stamp on it, and he just seemed like he was just kind of like floating around out there. He was just like doing wild stuff. I do. I like that kid from Duke. I do, and I might go down for going with him. But Chet is so skinny. I don't know if he'll ever be able to put on the weight and keep it on to do what he needs to do. And Jabari just doesn't seem to have that. He's just a little laissez faire to me. Like, I do when I feel like it. I turn it on when I feel like it. I do when I don't. I don't feel like his motor runs high enough for me. Every game I watch him play. That's just me.
I will say this. I think the top 3 players in this draft are really, really close. I agree. I think that they are really close.
And this is a deep NBA draft, as it really is. This is one of the better drafts that we've seen in a while. This is, and I think those top three players could very easily be 1A, 1B, and 1C. But if I had to make a pick right now, I'm going with Chet Holmgren, and here's why.
Mm.
When you watch him play, he is a tremendous defensive player. He's got great length. He blocks a lot of shots on the ball, and he blocks a lot of shots off the ball. And, I mean, that's, you know, if he's going to have that kind of impact, he could win 5 to 10, maybe even 15 defensive possessions for you in the game. That is huge. And his body type, he's skinny right now, but I think he has the potential to put on some muscle. And, you know, his body type reminds me of Anthony Davis when he came out of Kentucky. And he's a little bit taller than Anthony Davis, too. And he's a pretty good athlete. He can run the floor. And, you know, I don't know, hopefully he's not injury prone as Anthony Davis is. You know, don't turn into be street clothes. But I think he's a little bit more of a defense. He's a little bit more have a huge impact on the defensive end more so than Jabari and Paolo. And I think that's the difference in Chet's game right now. And he's a pretty good offensive player too. So I think right now I'll give the slight edge to Chet, but it's an extreme slight edge. I mean, Jabari, out of the three, Jabari's the best shooter. I mean, he is a bona fide stretch four going into the NBA. He can really shoot the basketball. He's got good length. I think Paolo is going to be more of a traditional four, a guy that I think is going to get his most points in the paint. But he's a guy that can step out and hit the mid-range shots and an occasional three. I don't think he's a great three-point shooter, but an occasional three. I think he'll get most of his work in the paint. But I think the difference is check and get it on the offensive end. If he can get the weight, he's a tremendous shot blocker, and he's going to be a huge difference on the defensive end for somebody.
Yeah. And just really quickly, I agree with that. I'm going to go with Chet as well because he kind of, you know, whenever Kevin Durant first came to the league, Kevin Durant was pretty thin too. I don't think he was – I'm not saying he was as real thin as Chet.
He's still thin.
His offensive – and he's never been that – I mean, you've seen him lift weights, but he's never been like just this, you know, crazily built player, and he's been able to survive too. Obviously, he had some, you know, morals later on in his career, but – so it's not a knock. It's more or less like I agree with Rob. Just his offensive game is just impressive, and the fact that you know, he does everything from blocking shots and gets I mean, he's just a very well put together player, man. Just basketball IQ. I mean, he's all of that, you know. So like you said, it's close as far as it's kind of pick your player. Like I want this guy right here. I want this, you know, little things like that. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I went back and I looked at like old stuff with Anthony Davis, you know, and also Kevin Durant, and they both looked like they had a little more to them than this kid does.
Huh.
I mean,
okay.
He's just about the skinniest guy. He's damn near almost all bone. You know, that's what I'm afraid of. You know, he looks like playing for Zag and playing in the conference he's played in. You know, I'm just wondering if it's fool's gold. Yes, he's played good in big games, you know, and in the tournament and all that he's, you know, but I'm just still wondering if it's fool's gold, and I still don't have an answer who I would select. I would be one of those owners that would, you know, or general managers that would be right up to the, probably a coin flip. But I just, skinny though. He's so skinny.
Yeah. But you know what?
He's skinny. There's no question about that. But I think Kevin Durant was just as skinny, though, when he came out. I think Kevin Durant was just as skinny.
But Chet was never the scorer that Kevin Durant was, even that 1 year in Texas.
Never.
He was never the scorer. So we have to stop with
that. You're right.
But I would tell you, what year was that? Was it Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, and Jason Tatum? 1, 2, 3? Is that the year?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Tatum went third. Who's the best player of those three? So
you
right now you're hearing Chet Holmgren. This year you're hearing Chet Holmgren, Jabari Davis, and Paolo. I think the same thing is going to play out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, we talked about Kevin Durant and we talked about Anthony Davis. If you compare him to Chet Holmgren, here's the deal. Coming out of college, Anthony Davis and Chet Holmgren defensively is on par. But Chet Holmgren is a better offensive player right now than what Anthony Davis was coming out of college. So in that regard, Anthony Davis got better in the offensive end, you know, once he got into the NBA. Now, Kevin Durant is an elite scorer coming out of college. He was already an elite scorer. You know, but he wasn't an average scorer. He was an elite scorer coming out of college. So Anthony Davis and Chet Holmgren are not that coming out of college. But I will say this. Chet Holmgren is a better defensive player than Kevin Durant is coming out of college. It's apples and oranges.
But you talk about the WCC, the Western Conference, whatever that Gonzaga's in. Now he's going to the grown man NBA with that frame, and that's great to say you're that defensive player in that conference and here and there in the tournament. I give you that. Like, I don't feel like he's going to be a bust. Like, he's not Adam Morrison. I'm not saying that, but I don't think that translation.
Wow.
I don't think that translation of how elite he could be in defense in those segments where he played against overmatched competition the way he had on his team. And Gonzaga to everybody else to where he's going to go be thrust into as a top three where everybody's going to go at him so hard with these grown men with the frame that he has. That's why I was like, if we're hanging his hat on his defensive prowess coming out as small as he, not small in terms of height, but in terms of, you know, bulk, I don't know if he's going to be able to have that same level of effectiveness even in his first year of the NBA. I just think Paolo is a more well-rounded wing player who has the mindset to attack. And he's going to go somewhere where he can attack. And it might be empty calories. Not give you that on a bad team coming out. It's going to take him a second to build around him. Don't get me wrong. It's just that if I have somebody I feel like who has a killer mentality that can get his own shot and has the ability to grow into a defender if he wants to, but already has the offensive mindset that what he has, but he has that killer attitude, I think out of those three, he has the most I'm going to cut your throat kind of attitude when I get this ball. Out of the three of them.
Yeah.
And to me, for somebody with the size, that's who I would want. That's why I would pick him.
It's really what it comes down to. It's not enough.
And getting back to Chet,
NBA. A little more spacing, if you will, for that, too. Yeah, go ahead.
I can definitely see that point about Paolo, or maybe he's a little bit more hungry and aggressive. But getting back to Chet, I mean, it's a really good point playing in the West Coast Conference, right? I mean, they did have a few teams that made it to the tournament this year, where I think San Francisco and St. Mary's, and I think they had three or four teams that made it to the tournament. But the good thing about Gonzaga is that they play a great out-of-conference schedule. And I think when you look at it from an NBA scout standpoint, they're looking at the Chet Holmgren against the marquee matchups, against the Dukes, against the Kansas, and you know, just to see how he's playing. It's no different in the NFL, right?
That's back.
You know, you
there
look at Jamar Chase. When you turn on Jamar Chase's college film, you're looking at how he played against Trayvon Diggs, right? You're looking at how he played against the marquee matchups, and that's what the NFL scouts do. It's no different in the NBA, right? So they're looking at the film of Chet Holmgren against the elite teams. And then when you grade his freshman season against the elite teams in college, he was still putting up 5 to 7 blocks a game, and which is a huge factor. And that's what the NBA scouts are looking at there. There's no question that neither one of these three players are a finished product going to the draft. You know, the NBA draft is always about potential, right? They're looking at what their ceiling looks like because a lot of these guys leave after their first season. He has the body type to put on more muscle, and I think that's what they're looking at too. He has the body type with the right physical training to put on more muscle, just like Anthony Davis did coming out as well. So I still think it's really close. I could definitely see that point about Paolo as well, but I still would give the slight edge to Chet. Now, you might ask me in 2 weeks, my opinion might change. But right now, I'll give the slide ahead to Chet Holmgren.
Thanks, Gary.
Fair enough.
I think that's definitely a great question.
That was thorough. Yeah.
Excellent question.
Good stuff.
Yes, that's good. and the guy missed with the second pick. And he, he has a fine shot. To take on the whole season and play out as he showed this year. But that guy was the second pick, and he was dead, in my opinion, to the first.
Okay. Good stuff. Hey, really quickly, wanted you, Curtis, and Gary to kind of quickly talk about the rumors about, you know, the Nike owner and the Nike founder and Dodgers owner to buy the Blazers really quickly, and then we'll get to the OT. We'll do our one topic and we'll wrap up the show too. But I know the word is the Blazers are not for sale, but it's like, hey, you got to shoot your shot
the
as
Blazers,
they say, if you will.
The Blazers are for sale. Absolutely, they're for sale. They are.
We need to get off. We need to get all our
money
together.
Let's do it.
And Jody Allen has made no mistake, no bones about it. She said on local TV, she's talked about it when she inherited, you know, her brother's, you know, fortune, that she wasn't interested in owning. It's not just the Blazers that's for sale. The Seahawks are for sale as well.
Oh, whoa.
So make no mistake about it. The Blazers will be sold first, but the Seahawks will also be
sold.
Fellas,
we got to get our money together. Let's
do that.
The Seahawks and the Blazers. We might have to relocate.
All my pennies off now to the bank. I'm going to see what I've got. So I'll let you guys know next week.
Well, Gary, I think you can buy the team by yourself. I think Gary can buy both of them with his own money.
Listen, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I agree with you on that. You just don't have people putting in bids when a team is not for sale. But make no mistake about it, the NBA and the NFL would love to get in bed that tight with Phil Knight and that Nike
contract.
Phil
Knight, absolutely.
True.
That's a match made in heaven for both of them. They're probably like, yes, if anybody has any priority, it's that guy. They're going to try to get him to buy it. Please sell him to him so we can get him in part of this and get that Nike part of the marketing that's already part of it. That to me just makes so much sense for that region, for what he owns and where that is in that region for those two teams. And just what better partnership could they have? I can't think of one.
Yeah. Vegas.
And then how about the other news, the other rumor, the NBA possibly expanding back to Seattle and bringing back Portland.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
And possibly in 2024, the NBA possibly looking to expand to Las Vegas and Seattle and bringing back the Supersonics. Should be interesting. They said if that happens, they're going to move the New Orleans Pelicans back to the Eastern Conference. So, you know,
that's the rumor.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music that ends our live portion of the show tonight. We're going to have a brief OT portion for you all. You can click on this same link to get our OT portion the rest of the week. Unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion of the show live, but click on the same link for the rest of the week, and you will get the rest of the show. Next week, fellas, are we going back to Tuesday night?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Tuesday night. All right. So next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to Tuesday night. I know we've had two straight weeks at Thursday night. We thank you for your flexibility in following us around. But next week, we'll be back on Tuesday night. You don't want to miss it. 11 p.m. in Boston. I know y'all watching the NBA Finals, but tune in to us 11 p.m. on Tuesday night. We want to hear from y'all. We'll have game two results by Tuesday night. So we want to hear from y'all in Boston. Chicago is going to be 10 p.m. for you all in the Central Time Zone. Denver and Albuquerque is going to be 9 p.m. for you all. And everyone in the Bay Area watching the Warriors in the finals from Fresno to Oakland to San Francisco. Make sure y'all tune in at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Just want to say the Reds are no longer the worst team in baseball after tonight. Let's go. Woo, small victories. Appreciate y'all, everybody listening to the show. I just need that to get out of my chest.
At least you got the right attitude, JQ.
Hey, listen, you got small victories.
Hey, our Yankees on the road.
We got, they beat the Angels today, man. Woo!
The Angels on the slump right now after getting off to a great start. But you got Ohtani and Trout, so at some point you got to think they're going to get it going offensively again.
Yeah, get them early.
Yeah.
So let's do your last topic for the night. We'll start with Curtis and Gary, and then we'll go around and kind of wrap up the show. If you can kind of pick your topic that you wanted to discuss and kind of wrap it up from there.
Okay, this has nothing to do with anything other than the safety of our kids. We need to have gun reform in this country. We need to get rid of assault rifles. We need to have Congress, Democrats and Republicans, get together and pass a bill, and let's have some true gun reform in this country so that we can make sure that our kids are safe. We don't need teachers with weapons on them. We don't need more guns to save lives. We need less guns to save lives. We need our kids to feel like they're safe in school. So many kids have to already go through metal detectors and everything like that. And so many of these schools are already semi-locked down. So we need to go the other way, and let's make these kids feel like we felt when we were kids, right? We didn't have to go through metal detectors. We didn't have, this gun violence is just getting out of control. There's going to be more and more of this bloodshed in our schools unless we make it hard for these kids to get weapons and to bring them to school. Let's have gun reform. That's all I wanted to say tonight. That's all I care about.
That's very well said, Gary, and I think that's a great stand for us to talk to the 12th man. And so definitely appreciate you covering that. That's I think we all agree with that.
That's another thing. The highest thing I heard of was that killing the buffalo next to, I think it was a man when some guy went to a black church and killed all the friends in the church. I'm glad that sports kind of bring us together, but the sports are not big enough to bring us all together, which is kind of sad.
Well, I will say this, that, Curtis and I talk about stuff like this all the time. And with you guys, I wanted to make sure that we brought this up because it's just, it is important, So to all of our listeners out there, however many there are, when it's time to vote, vote. And vote for that person that is going to be able to make a change so that we can have some laws so that all of these kids. I've got grandchildren, four granddaughters that I worry about constantly. You know, I worry about your kids, JQ, you, Rob. You know, let's make sure that, you know, our kids go, you know, go to school and come home, and they don't have, and that's one thing that they, a kid should not have to worry about that. You know, it's sad when I watched this kid today on the news where on CNN he had to, their drills were to go to the back of the classroom and barricade themselves behind desks, tip their desks over and crawl behind the desks. That was something that they were teaching the kids in school as a drill. That's,
yeah.
You know, that's, we want to get past that. Or kids don't have to worry about that. Right? So
yeah.
That's why I brought that up.
No, I was going to tell
yeah.
you, too. Go ahead, Jake. I'll let you do your thing.
No, I was going to say, I think that's a good thing for me. I don't have anything to come behind that because I agree. I was really jaded after what happened at Sandy Hook, right? I was like, what happened after Sandy Hook? If we couldn't do it after that, I just didn't feel like maybe as a country we couldn't come together because it's the same thing, right? Elementary school kids getting run up on and shot up on, and everybody says starts crying and says this, that, and the other, and then nothing changes. I have that worry as a 13- and 10-year-old, you know, father of two girls going to school and having to have lockdown drills and getting emails saying, yeah, we're having a lockdown drill, so don't be alarmed, but we're teaching them how to properly take care of themselves in case they get shot up. Like, it's foolish. I can talk about sports in the OT next week, but I appreciate you for bringing that up. But, yeah, I definitely have that worry, and then it definitely brought it right back home. And I remember getting those emails about them going through lockdown drills, and it's like, man, you're teaching them how to not get shot. That's just wild. So, I echo that sentiment.
I was going to say really quickly, there was an interesting video, and it was kind of a parody. It was from Trevor North, but they were talking about Switzerland. I don't know if you saw this video. And if you have not, you should look up Switzerland's regards to guns, because Switzerland has more guns than the United States, but they don't have any incidents of any shootings at all, which is crazy because they have such really great gun reform. They believe in everyone has to be trained. They're going to the military. They believe in basically having their ammunition separate from the guns. They have actual shooting classes. They are trained. You have to go through strict opportunities to get a gun. And you're thinking this country is, you know, obviously we make jokes about them being neutral, but they have figured it out. They haven't had a mass shooting since 2001, and they fixed the law after that happened. And that was, it was crazy. So it's a Trevor North, and it's like Switzerland and guns. And it's crazy because you're looking at this, you're like, this is crazy. Like, you know, even there's kids that have guns, but they're trained at a young age how to use guns over in the military. I know it sounds weird that we're talking about this now, but it's like, and America's so careless. Like, you know, America, we don't care. Like, you can't take the guns from me, and we're reckless, and folks are shooting their guns and, you know, accidentally killing themselves, and it's crazy, you know. So I agree with you, you know, Gary. Thanks for bringing it up. And we have to have a serious reform because – and I don't know if we can do it, you know, because at this juncture I'd rather move to a different country to be safer, because the way things are going, there's no way that we should have these situations that we're in right now. It's unbelievable, you know. And I'm thinking about you got to think about getting a gun to protect yourself, and that's not how it should be, because now I'm like, well, now I'm a risk, right? But you have to be trained and things like that, but, you know.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's all about the money, right? It's all about the money. And these gun makers and things of that nature, and obviously they want to continue to make money, and unfortunately they don't care, you know, what's going on. I'll be honest, I don't consider myself a Republican. I don't consider myself a Democrat. I consider myself a Republicrat. You know, I'm one of the individuals that I feel like I, you know, vote for, you know, whoever the best candidate is regardless, right? But the bottom line, these gun companies, they're in the Republicans' back pocket, and they are in the Republicans' back pocket, and somebody's got to take a hard stand, just like Gary has mentioned on this, then we have to do something. I mean, something needs to be done, but we got to get past the dollars here. And like I said, these gun companies is all about the money. They want to continue to make money. And like I said, unfortunately, they are in the Republicans' back pocket.
Well, developing news, folks, developing news. Phil Knight has made an offer for the Blazers.
There it is.
Yep.
Well, like you said, we kind of, I mean, I was joking earlier. We knew that was, you know, there's a lot of where there's smoke, there's fire. So, again, it's not like we were surprised by that, you know, at all. Go ahead.
It makes sense. He's got a strong presence in Oregon.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I've been to Super Bowl, and on the back of the ticket, they tell you what you can bring in and not bring in, and they close off only 2 inches.
Entrances.
And they go through your everything. And I bought a backpack to a Super Bowl, and they made me throw it away. And this is 10 years ago. How much security that they put in the people that go to the Super Bowl. It was unbelievable. And of course, I lost that. Couldn't get it back.
Well, you know what? It's better that they don't let anyone in like that with backpacks or anything like that, because that's what, you know, people do. They conceal something. They get it into a school. They get it into wherever, and that's what happens. That's what's going to happen with, you know, with these schools. All these schools are going to end up being like a fortress, you know, and that's not right for our kids. That's all I have to say on that, gentlemen. I just wanted to bring up this tough topic because, you know, I pray for your kids as well and want to make sure that they're safe. So.
No, that was good.
Certainly appreciate
that. We talked about it today. It's funny because I was literally talking about this today, and it was just like, you know, sometimes you try to separate a couple things with sports and life, and, you know, there's so many things that are happening that, you know, there's so many where I think we're definitely well-rounded individuals that we could talk about things from politics to, you know, life and whatever, too. So it was good to bring this up because, you know, we're all thinking about this. I got nieces and nephews, too, that we're dealing with this as well. So you think about all that, but appreciate you, Gary. Like I said, it's a nice little turn. Like you said, just it's pretty heavy, but something that needs to be talked about for sure. So, good stuff.
Yeah. I'd make a backup offer for the Blazers if I had Rob's money.
I think you can find them all by yourself, Gary.
Hey, guys, we can hold 20 – like, what is it? If we can hold 20%, you know, we can pull that off, right? You know, we can get some leverage or something like that too. So,
all right, I'm going to bed. I got these chicks that I got to work in. I got these chicks I got to deal with all weekend. I can go to sleep.
Yeah, we're gonna.
I got a cloud cover.
Daddy duty.
You go Shepherdy. You go. All right. Well, cool. We'll see you guys.
What you gonna be feeding them for breakfast, man? Chocolate cake.
That is great. Gives us some chocolate cake. Hey, you old. I'm mad at you for that.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, huh?
I'm cool with it.
He pulled out the song, man. Too, Dad. It was great. Shout out to
him. I know. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
That was the worst thing ever. We're like, yo, your kid's like, man, you know you can have a chocolate cake with that. It's great. My dad was like, man, get the hell out of here.
Thank
like,
you,
I'm like, yeah,
I'm chocolate cake. Daddy, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. They got some chips in their pantry. Go eat them chips.
No, man. I got two girls that love Chick-fil-A. All I got to do is go get them some chicken minis and some orange juice, and they're good to go.
good.
There you go.
That's good stuff.
Gentlemen, we appreciate it.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Have fun, guys.
Night.
Have a great week. We'll keep us up.
We're on a short week.
Pray
we got
for
a short week.
There it is.
Prayers for JQ.
See y'all later, man. Yeah,
all right, guys,
please. All of them.
You got that.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Good night.